check this shit out.
Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting made for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Oh, whoa. Break out your wood. It's the 5th anniversary 501 episode. Pull on your pants. Ship your pants. Yep. Pants and wood. It is the TagCast, if that's what we're talking about.
Tiger
episode
pants
501.
Wood.
I think I already said that. I can't believe it. Season 5.
What do you think of the first thing you think of when you think of 501?
501. Well, I think of jeans.
Yep. Isn't that weird?
And then I go, five. I thought of Five Alive, which we've touched on in the past.
And then came to me, Five-Year Plan by DRI.
Nice.
DRI. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's listening who just stumbled upon this episode, it hasn't been 5 years. Don't get us wrong.
No.
It's been a year and change. Five seasons. A lot of podcasts don't do seasons. My wife kind of made fun of me the other day about it.
Oh, really?
You guys in your seasons. Because I was like, it was the season finale of season 4. And she's like, what does that mean? Do you guys take a break? She goes, how long is a season? I go, it was 39 episodes, but now it's been ended up being
13 weeks.
42. Oh, 13 weeks. Okay. I didn't know there was a rhyme or a reason. So we did an extra week then, because we did 42 episodes.
No, 13 times
3 is 39.
You're right.
We did the 5-year plan.
Well, I don't know what we're doing.
We did the 14-week episode season.
It used to be 13, and then it went to 14.
Because of bonus episodes and the live podcast.
No, because who ends on 39? You need to go back to the 40, right?
I wish I could have stopped at 39.
Yeah.
I was just telling Gatch before we got on the air or over the internet here, I was feeling a little old today. Old, like I had a birthday yesterday or something. Or maybe I had two birthdays yesterday, and then I realized, my birthday's not till August, so fuck. So, yeah.
Well, that's coming up in a couple months.
Yeah, and I don't even care that I'm going to be 45.
You probably don't celebrate birthdays much anymore, do you?
I would like to, but I didn't, get any presents or anything last year because everybody was broken.
But you're not like, I don't want to celebrate my birthday.
No.
You're not that guy.
If I don't have a party, I still celebrate the fact.
All right.
You know,
because a lot of people, you know, they just...
I don't go around saying, hey, it's my birthday. My birthday. What are you going to buy me? But if someone says happy birthday...
Anybody does that after they reach a certain maturity.
Well, some people never reach that maturity. It's my birthday. What's up? Oh, yeah. It's my birthday.
I always feel weird when I say that. Like, when you're bragging about it, it's like, it's your birthday.
Yeah, that reminds me of an old Seinfeld episode where Jerry dated a girl, and it was their first date, and she said, oh, it's my birthday today. And he said, oh, happy birthday. You know, he didn't get her a present or anything, but they had met before her birthday, and they met, and then they made
a
date.
And they're on a date, and it's her birthday, so he should at least get her.
He's going on and on. She didn't think that, or she didn't say that, but he's like, what woman schedules their first date on their birthday? And then tells me that it's her birthday. Well, what's up with that?
Yeah. At least let her know. Let him know.
And that was the same episode where then he went to her house later and saw a picture of her at her house, and she had the same dress on that she was wearing. Well, first, they did a second date, and she was wearing the same dress. And he said, well, she could have been at the end of the laundry cycle, and maybe all of her clothes had just gotten dirty, and then she washed them, and then she just wore it again earlier in the cycle of the laundry. He goes, but why would she wear this? And then he went to her house, and there was a picture of her in her house with that dress on.
Sure, her favorite
dress. Is this the only dress she wears? So he wanted to look in her closet to see if she had maybe 10 or so of those dresses, but I can't remember what happened, but that's funny.
And she had a box of Junior Mints.
Oh, that was a different one.
Oh.
That would be funny to, like, make all the episodes into one somehow.
See, that'd be something you'd see in, like, Arrested Development. Hey, which you finished, I would assume, right? You only had one episode left.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I finished it, like, that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to start watching it again, but I'm watching three all the way through.
That's what I did last time.
In the background, but yeah.
Well, you get the laughs.
I'd forgot about a lot of stuff. I'd forgot that, because when James Lipton came on the new episode, I kind of forgot that he was the warden of the prison from before, you know, and I forgot about the whole screenplay that he wrote in season three that maybe was pitching and Ganji, the horror movie.
Yeah, and then you see, like, Ganji 4, and you go, well, that kind of looks familiar, but I'm not really getting the...
Yeah, yeah. And I went back, and it reminded me. But, yeah, I enjoyed it enough that I'm definitely going to watch it again. I'm just trying to give it a little break, let it settle in a little bit.
Yeah. I watched it on such high speed that, you know, I mean, and then I went back and watched season three like you're doing just to, like, you know, refresh on some of the jokes. So next time, you know, I'll get a little bit more.
For sure.
You know, but concerning the first five episodes, I don't know how many times I've seen those in season one. Probably 100.
You think so?
Yeah.
Just because you always throw that one in and you might not get through the disc?
No, because I'm always like, people come over and, you got to watch this show. This show's awesome.
Oh, that's kind of like with Trailer Park Boys.
And then, you know, it's a huge undertaking to, like, go, yeah, you want to watch 50 episodes of a show?
That's kind of like a...
You don't have to do it all tonight, but... Promise me you'll come over and watch them all.
Season three of the Trailer Park Boys, I've probably seen the first three episodes more than any, just because of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And people will come over, I say Trailer Park Boys, you've never seen Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah, you got to at least hear, I'll give you one episode.
We've got to start with season three, though, because it's just easier to wrap your head around it, and then you want to go back. And they're like, you're telling me how to watch my show? Who said that? Someone just said that the other day. Maybe it was at the Alvin Palooza. Someone said, I don't like people telling me how to watch TV. Was that wasn't you, was it?
No.
No, because I know you weren't there yesterday, but maybe I confused and thought that you told me that.
Yeah.
Somebody said that, and that was a funny thing that reminds me of I don't trust people that don't drink. You saw the Marin show from Friday, didn't you?
No.
Oh.
I don't trust people that
watch.
Dude. I don't trust people who watch Howling 3 before they watch Howling 1.
Mini spoiler, fucking Danny Trejo.
Nice.
In Marin.
Nice.
Dude, it's an excellent episode.
It's connected.
What, it is?
No, he's connected.
Connected in that scene of, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's interviewed all those people, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've noticed on Mark's show lately, it's kind of, what the fuck? Remember when he used to have comedians on there?
Yeah.
Now it's just like, he had Huey Lewis on there a couple weeks ago, and Billy Bragg. Just a bunch of musicians and, like, the person who wrote some screenplay for something that I didn't know about. I mean, that's cool. He's doing all kinds of stuff. He used to almost be exclusively comics, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe he ran out of them or, you know, I mean...
They hate to go on his show now.
Maybe.
Because it's...
Maybe it's just a little dicey for him. And also, you know, I mean, there is a comedy boom, so maybe a lot of comics are really busy and away from LA most of the time. I don't know if that's a good excuse.
Yeah,
I heard Christine Levine didn't have a very good time recently. I don't know. She was posting on Facebook about how a lot of her shows had been canceled due to no crowds or I don't know.
Yeah.
It seemed like a really tough.
Yeah,
tough go for.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It is tough, and that kind of happened to him on that 50 States and 50 Days tour that they did too. They had ran into a couple problems with that, where the guy was like, "Oh, I guarantee it'll be packed," and got flyers everywhere. And they get to the venue, and there's not one flyer. And they look around town on the poles. There's no flyers. There's no seats. There's nobody at the bar. There's like three people at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, you know, what do? You're counting on a guarantee cash money to get you to the next.
And you're counting on an out-of-town promoter who you don't know, likely.
Exactly. And then they ousted him on Facebook and said, don't ever work with this guy. And a bunch of people chimed in and said, oh, I know. Don't fuck around with that guy. He's the.
Yeah. No.
Which, did I tell you about that? That Rod Black recently came into that with the comedy scene?
Huh.
Now people don't like him already.
And well,
you know how he kind of is a bridge burner a little bit? I mean, I talked about this at Album Palooza with some people who've worked with him because there was a couple Portland bands up there. Rod Black does a lot of great service for the metal community, and he has for over 20 years. However, there's a side of Rod Black that is just a little bit on the shady side and a little bit on the defensive, I'm a professional side. You know, so Scott Von Wald, who's a friend and a comedian of mine, not a good friend, but we've talked on several occasions, more an acquaintance or a fellow comic, and they were posting some stuff that was pretty vague about someone who had approached someone to do a show, a monthly showcase, and saying that they were going to need to charge her $60 out of her door stuff to pay the door guy. And she's like, oh, I have a door person that will do it. And he said, oh, you have to be OLCC certified to be a door person. That is a lie. That is an outright lie. Jesse Priest just took the test when he went to work at that brewery. And you do not have to be OLCC certified to be a bouncer or a door person.
Yeah.
And then they said something else about this. And so it was going to end up that she would only have like $50 to pay. And how are you going
to... It's probably smart to have them at least take the class under your business because it doesn't cost that much. And then, you know, they have the ability to identify bad licenses, which will protect you from being... You know, liable and
right. So she had posted this and not said what the venue was or who the promoter was, and then all these comics were saying, "Oh, that's bullshit. That's a lie. He's trying to take advantage of you. Don't do it." Blah blah blah. And then on a separate, just on the regular news feed, Scott Von Wald said, "I just had some asshole tell me not to be burning bridges." It's like, that's my point, motherfucker. And then, like, he ended up chiming in on that thing later, like the next day, and said, "The person in question here is a guy named Rod Black." And he went on about how he had threatened him or something because via email. And so I told him, you know, he did the same thing to me when I jokingly said, I thought you were a professional. You never got back to me. And he's like, don't ever question. He's like, that's exactly what he said.
It happened to me, too. Remember when I approached
and I told
Rod about a promotional, a lack of promotion in an out-of-town gig. And I don't want to, like... You know,
this won't be the fuck Rod Black episode.
No,
but still.
Because I know he does a lot of stuff, you know, but I mean, there are some, I believe he practices some, cutthroat tactics.
Definitely. And I have
and,
more,
you know, I mean, you can be against that or you could say, hey, that's just part of the business.
Yeah. Some people know that you have to be cutthroat if you want to succeed. Mm-hmm. However, I have more friends that have been burned by him than friends who said, 100% Rod Black is a good dude, you know, and I had to tell him, I said, actually, he did something to upset my band in like the mid 90s, and we ended up writing and performing a song called Fuck Rod Black for the last show that we played for him. He's like, please tell me you have a recording of this song. And I was like, no, I don't. It was kind of a one off thing, but So did you also notice that he's no longer doing business at the Tiger Bar because he's a fucking bridge burner too?
Uh-uh.
He's at the Analog Cafe now.
Huh.
And that's where he was trying to get, because they were doing that Narcomics Anonymous comedy show at the Tiger Bar, and he was booking them. And so since he, I don't know what happened, because I never know the details, but I don't know. Enough about that. But anyway,
I've heard, and I don't know if it's true, you know, but because even the other party's kind of questionable, is what
I'm saying here. Right.
But there was a radio station in Portland, I think, that was trying to go they were trying to do like a local radio bands and stuff, and Rod has his up there, and I heard that he was trying to strong arm the other guy not to be able to get it. I don't know if it's true, but the guy that in question that was complaining about this kind of seemed half-assed, was wanting to, it just wouldn't, take the advice of, like, instead of dealing with all that, why don't you just go, and if you want to go terrestrial radio, go and get the license, and then you don't even have to worry about what some local
and my,
guys
do. My other friend, Travis Dahman, who used to be in Body Bag, this came up when we were talking about 6 months ago about having a victims reunion and playing with Spawn and what was the other band? Body Bag. Yeah, exactly. And he was like, Rod Black's going to do this, blah, blah. Someone else said that, and he's like, we don't fucking need Rod Black to do a Portland old school death metal reunion show. And he's shady as fuck anyway. And then he ended up sending me a personal message because I asked him personally, you know, what did he do? And he's like, he ended up owing him almost $2,000 after they split up over that Chronicles of Rock radio because they were partners in that. And so he's screwed a lot of people.
I always wondered that's the Chronicles of Rock
TV show. Everything.
Well, now it's radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the radio station. And I've been there and he's, you know,
isn't it
programming
off
and stuff. I don't know. I've only been there a couple times. So I just go
done.
There and check it out. Cause,
it's done now.
I like he does some interesting photography and stuff.
Oh yeah, and he does video production and all kinds of stuff. He's all around, all around guy. But he just has a couple.
I was sad that that Chronicle Rocks actually didn't pan out. You know,
it would have been cool for a spotlight on the Oregon scene, definitely.
Yeah.
But well, I guess what got us talking about that was you talking about Christine Levine and her troubles, and I hope that this didn't have anything to do with it. I don't know who she was touring with, but there's been a lot of talk, and we talked about this a week or two ago about a lot of people saying that women just aren't funny, and that brings me to this: the Helium. Actually, this is Monday. We didn't say Happy Monday to you guys, everybody. Happy Monday. We're recording on Sunday, and today is the day of the finals of the Helium contest. That's down to 10 for tonight. Mm-hmm. And out of 101, there was like 29 ladies in the contest.
Oh, yeah.
Not one in the top 10.
What?
Yep. It's a sausage fest, or as Chris Castle says, a little smoky after party. But I would like to say...
Or a pool party.
I might not be that good at comedy because I didn't make the cut, but I am.
A pool.
I am good at predicting who's going to win. Because check this out.
How'd you do?
Dude, I did pretty fucking good.
Well, let's see. What is your top score possible? Because there's two or three per night, so how many were picked?
Well, let me show you. This is how I broke
it
down.
How many are in the finals, though? That's what I'm asking.
10.
Okay, 10.
10 out of 101.
10 is your possible greatest score, right, if you picked all 10?
Out of the finalists, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but the semifinalists...
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
Okay, so there was 26 semifinalists out of 101. I predicted 15 of 26.
15 of 26. That's pretty good.
And the ones that I didn't predict were new dudes that fucking killed, Curtis Cook and Adam Posse. Those guys are predicted one of them to win.
And that's roughly 5 out of 9, and if you break that down, that's roughly 2 out of 3.
Now check this out. There's 10 finalists out of the 26 semifinalists. I predicted 7 of 10.
Wow, that's
out of 26.
Wait, well, I'm holding up with it's.
And the two
7, 10. That's 70%.
Because yes, it is. That was a good figuring. So this is a virtual who's who. Of who's who in the fucking Portland comedy scene in the final time. So check this out. We got
a good representation.
You got Todd Armstrong.
Nice.
Tim Hammer. Don Frost. Mm-hmm. Shane Torres. Gabe Dinger. Randy Mendez. Now these are the guys I don't know. Curtis Cook. Adam Posse. Anatoly Brandt. Now Anatoly's been around for a year or two up there. Adam and Curtis just came into the scene like just a few months ago because they just moved there.
All right.
And the 10th finalist is Noriko Ott, who's
nice.
A fairly newcomer, but he's killing. He's doing very well.
It was pretty funny when that we saw him that one night. So let's go through him again.
Okay. On the full list?
Yeah. I just want to tell you why they made it.
Todd Armstrong.
All right, because his name's Todd.
Okay.
Todd Glass is a very popular musician.
Tim Hammer. Comedian, I know. Tim Hammer.
Tim Hammer, man, great name.
He's the one with the MC Hammer touch lamp.
No wonder
he was.
Great stuff. Right.
He's the one-liner dude. Okay, then you got Don Frost.
Yep.
Don Frost!
Yep. Yeah. He's louder than the rest of them.
Shane Torres, who I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he's been around about 4 or 5 years.
No, he tours it up, though.
Torres. Yes, he does. Gabe Dinger.
Uh-huh.
He has a great bit about Roots and Reading Rainbow. Because of the guy that's in both of those. Mm-hmm. And he had a black stepfather. Mm-hmm. So it really fucked him up when people would tease him at school for having a black stepfather, and then so his stepfather had him watch Roots as a kid. And then he saw Reading Rainbow, and he's like, what? LeVar, what the fuck? And then they took his eyes.
What was the gay's name
again?
Then
he's on Star Trek, and they took his eyes.
What was the guy's name again?
Gabe Dinger.
That is pretty good. But, yeah, I bet he has some of the good singers.
Oh, yeah. Randy Mendez, former Eugene resident, moved to Portland.
Yeah, yeah. And Mendez's brother.
Yep. Yep, him and his brother killed their parents. Noriko Ott.
Yeah, well, just the name one alone. Guy that I've
actually
seen.
Yeah, huh?
And I approve.
Anatoly. Anatoly. That's a weird name.
Anatoly, okay. Incorrect.
Anatoly Brant. Or
no,
Brant.
No, you got... You,
here's the other thing.
Comics should be able to change their name freely, right?
Yeah.
So, Anatoly, don't you think Anatoly correct?
Yeah. Anatoly... Anatomic. Anatolic Lee... His middle name could be Lee.
Yeah.
Correct. Anatoly Lee, correct. His name has Rant in it. It's Brant.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you got the new guys, Curtis Cook.
Yeah, he's he's in the service industry.
He just moved out here from Minnesota, I believe.
Oi!
And he is...
Does he have the accent or anything?
No, he's... I'm not sure if he's Puerto Rican or half black, but he is dark complected. And the other guy is Adam Posse.
Well,
and he's bringing his posse, so you know he's got... Actually, Marcus Gibson, another comedian who was in the comedy competition, called Adam Posse from the beginning. So I want to see that. That's a possibility. Possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Possibility.
Mm-hmm.
He should change his name to Possibility.
He should.
Okay, so we have new names for all you comics. Randy Menendez. Gabe Winger. Shane Torres. Tore it up. I know none of those guys are listening to this show right now, so I'm just putting this out there. Here's my projected winners.
All right.
Unfortunately, in no particular order, because I can't do that. Todd Armstrong, Dodd Frost, Gabe Dinger. Boom, there it is. We got a guest at the podcast today?
I don't know.
Broadcasting live from the Tagcast Podcast Studios. We're glad you're listening to episode 5 here. As you're listening to this, the winner will already be decided of all this that we're talking about.
So you're picking top three?
Todd, Don, and Gabe. I'm not going 1, 2, 3.
Todd Armstrong, I don't know him, but the name is a strong name.
He's a
funny... Not just because it's an arm, but, you know, it's just a strong... You go Todd Armstrong, you're like...
He came in second for Oregon's last comedian standing.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean...
He's open for Tommy Chong.
Todd.
At Helium.
Todd is a very strong name.
And his website, which is probably was taken, so he's Arm Todd Strong. That's his .com.
That's very creative.
Arm Todd, and the Todd is big in the middle. Arm Todd Strong.
Nice.
So he has a DVD. He made a DVD. It's available to the public.
Yeah?
He's only been doing Comic D for 3 years, and he did it as a New Year's resolution to make himself not scared of public speaking. And now he's a full-time comic.
There you go. That's a lot in the public speaking realm, just what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
If you go to a public speaking class at a college, they're just going to give you topics. They're just going to tell you, hey, pick a topic and give a speech to the class on it.
Yep. And he got such a good reaction and had such a good time doing it that's his job now.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So that's it for that.
Is Simon Cowell a judge on any of those?
No. So far, it's all been audience vote, but I believe there will be judges from the Helium staff that will be choosing. I'm not too sure.
A judge there, and he watched you, and then he just did his whole Simon Cowell thing. Would you be cool with it?
If I was a comedian and he got to, like, tell me that was rubbish.
He just pointed out the worst parts of everything that you did.
You were
not that
tied.
You did horrible, that just that he only focused on the worst.
Or he would say, very funny. You were funny, but you got tongue-tied twice. And you stuttered, and you paused, and looked at your notes. So, Get off the stage, you fag.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, somebody recently that was on his show last season came in on this season in a finale during another act. I don't know if she was part of the act. I don't think she was, but she came and just threw eggs at him on live TV.
I think I read that somewhere. I just read the what happened because I didn't read the whole story.
I don't know. She was sorry that she took away from the other people's performance. But I don't think they probably escorted her.
Yeah. Did you go to the movies this weekend?
No.
Did you do anything? What'd you do?
Nothing.
Just chilling?
Yeah, just chilling.
You know what the number one movie was at the box office this weekend? I saw the previews for it, and it looks fucking interesting.
Purge.
Yeah, The Purge. $3 million is how much it cost to make. And they made $36.3 in one weekend.
That's as opposed to the highly hyped
internet ship. Or internship.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because all these movies that are just dropping right now, they were all trailers at Evil Dead when Evil Dead first came out.
Yeah.
So I saw all these trailers, and The Purge is pretty good. There's one day a year where all laws are set aside and people can do anything they want for 24 hours.
I think that happens in countries.
Well, this is in America on this show. And so most people have these houses that are all like zombie-proof, what I would...
Sure, for that day.
Yeah, where, you know, you got steel walls that all come down, you know, whatever you want to call it.
You could probably have a bomb shelter.
Yeah, so, basically. Like, they're closing the door, or the daughter looked outside or something, and there was a guy screaming, help me, they're going to kill me. And so she opened the door and let him in. And... then it turns out there was these group of people hunting him, and he was the purge. And we have reason to believe that you have the purge inside your residence, and if you don't let him out here, and then that's kind of what they left it at. So I guess the plot would thicken after that probably.
Yeah. And it's Ethan Hawke, and he does well in those sci-fi kind of thrillers.
Yeah. So it did very well.
The internship. Boom.
Well,
what do you think of it?
You know what's funny, dude? That $18.1 million is bombing.
Well, it cost 68 to make.
Wow, The Purge only cost $3 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was probably all filmed in that one house mostly.
Well, it's all filmed at the Google fucking campus for the internship.
Oh, well, that one. I'm talking about the one that was cheaper.
No, I know, but I'm just comparing the two.
Oh.
So, I mean, it can't be that much.
Hmm.
You know, you got Google getting their ad placement in all over. But... you know, probably a lot of that is probably paid for the director and
paid for the
two or three stars that are in it. But it's an interesting promise. It's a promising premise in a comedy movie, right?
That's hard to say. It's a promising premise
it's
in a comedy movie.
It's a promising premise. Is it taken away from the fact that it's those two? If it was two fresh new actors.
Or maybe one of them and someone else.
What if those two guys... from, and this would be totally offbeat, the two guys from Community, like Danny Glover, right? Donald Glover.
The black dude.
And his Ovid.
See, I don't watch that show, but I know.
Or whatever his friend.
I know Donald Glover from Comedy.
Or what about, Donald Glover and Aziz Ansari.
Those guys are both funny.
Would you prefer that kind of a... what would they do in a Google internship, given that premise, as opposed to the guys who already did Wedding Crashers?
Yeah, two white
and
guys.
Already did those jokes, kind of. You know, they've already had their shot at those jokes. And so can... I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say it's a bad movie, because there's probably a few laughs in it.
Weren't they in another movie together?
Yeah, The Wedding Crashers.
Another one?
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
I think they did another one.
Yeah, they're good friends.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean like just as a bit part, because they're probably in 20 movies.
Yeah.
Because Vince Vaughn, you know, he shows up in all the Ben Stiller, or not all of them, but a lot of them, and so does Owen. But
and he, you know, he was in Elf.
Yeah. And Fast and Furious 6.
I know Fred Claus.
Fast and Furious 6 still was ahead of the internship after 2 weeks. It's taken in $2.2 million so far.
And that's a show with the same fucking premise, too.
Why, dude? Why would they even make number two? I don't understand.
I didn't even know they made number five or six until they were there, but it seems like lately they're bringing back, like, the Vince or Vin Diesel and stuff like that, so I guess
And I know a lot of people like the crazy action of fast cars racing and all that CGI stuff, but I don't like it.
Ryan Phillippe. Is he still involved?
I don't even know. I know who he is.
The first one, and then I was like, okay, I know what the whole thing is. You're racing for pink slips. I'm not that interested in racing, buddy. You know?
That's right.
A car chase scene, but if you're going to intersprinkle it with a little bit of blah, 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 and some of the sister, brother, love triangle thing going on, I don't
know.
Nah.
I don't want that.
I'll just turn on some IHRA highlights and watch them go and be done with the race in 2 seconds.
That's right. So you didn't hear any other specifics on what Christine Levine had problems with, just people canceling? Or
I can't. It just seemed like one bad break after another. It didn't, like canceled shows or no tickets sold. Or...
See, now that makes me wonder if it would be different if it was a guy, because I was going to touch on this. We got kind of sidetracked, which is what we do here. I read this story about maybe 3 weeks ago, but it came to mind. I never brought it up. There was a lady comedian who was fired after she was basically sexually harassed by a heckler. This is a little article I think that she might. Well, no, she didn't write it. Anyway, it says it's a crazy world when a woman can't get through 5 minutes of comedy without some drunk asshole screaming at her to take her clothes off. But hey, that's apparently the world that we're living in. Or so Canadian comedian Christina Walkinshaw discovered when she did a set at a club called Yuck Yucks at Casino Niagara. She was in the middle of her set when she heard the following. Show us your tits! Show us your tits! Under normal circumstances, she said, I would shoot them a sassy line and tell them to shut up. But this club sends us all memos telling us, you know, specifically not to talk to the crowd or engage with the staff or the other acts. So basically, she said, I have two choices, keep going or show them my tits. So I decided to just keep going. And about a few minutes later, they started chanting, show us your bush, show us your bush.
It's a crowd they were chanting it?
Yeah.
Wow.
To a female comedian. So she managed to get through her material and get backstage, only to have a really stellar interaction with a member of the casino staff. At the end of the night, the woman running the show came back into the green room. I'm not the absolutely worst person when it comes to confrontation, she said. I knew I had to say something to her, but I didn't know how. And I got a little choked up, but she finally said this to the person who was running the show. The staff member said, hey, next time an audience member shouts, show us your tits, show us your bush, you might want to tell them to be quiet. And then the girl, being a girl, no offense, ladies, burst out crying. You know, she was sad already because she got heckled. And now
she
wrestled with herself of whether to say something or not, but she decided to follow club policy. And then a staff member of said club says, you should have said something, you dumbass. So, oh, sorry. We thought you liked that. So she kept working at Yuck Yucks for the rest of the weekend because she didn't want to lose the money. And she described feeling relieved when she found out she was asked to work back there again.
Well, it sounds like the club was behind her, though.
It was.
You know, but by saying, like, okay, go ahead.
But now you will hear the rest of the story. So she was booked again there, but a week before the show, she found out through an email from her agent that the next gig at Yuck Yucks had been canceled. A Casino Niagara spokesperson emailed The Globe and Mail and said, based on post-show comments from our staff, we decided not to rebook Miss Walkinshaw at this time. Miss Walkinshaw's recount of the evening was outlined using social media, and we've reviewed all of the details of the evening and stand by our decision to not rebook her. So
why did they just tell her that they didn't want to rebook her rather than blow smoke up her ass?
That's what I don't understand. It says this explanation of why the casino doesn't want her back appears to mirror Walkinshaw's explanation that it's the casino, not the club, that is the real problem. So I guess they're kind of a club inside of a casino.
All right.
And so there's like the club people are telling her, you should have said something. The casino's saying don't. The fact is, they want to treat a comedian like an employee of their casino, but they won't protect us like one. So She said, I'd be willing to bet all the $500 I'm losing by not playing their club that if a bunch of guys chanted, show us your bush, to a blackjack dealer, they'd probably be kicked out.
That is true.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm. And anyway, they probably would, even if they said, show us an ace.
And she has a good point here that was listed on her blog, a question she wanted to ask. Who actually heckles anymore? Who dares to do more than just quietly whisper under their breath about how they're not having a good time at a show? You know, I think
especially if you paid.
Yeah, and you're there for
a
comedy show.
If you paid for comedy.
Yep. So it just makes me wonder if all this hubbub going on, like on the Portland Comics Board and this and that, about women getting a bad rap and people saying that they're not funny, is actually a true epidemic that's going on everywhere, and it seems like it might be a little bit true.
Yeah.
There's total solidarity from all the guys in Portland. Portland is a very communal comedy scene, and
comedy has never been a clean business, though.
No.
You know, it's always been, you know, it's a vaudevillian thing. You need a pillow or something, dude? There's some pillows over there.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Maybe later. All right. Thanks. I'll take a pillow rain check.
Yeah, I didn't know if you look like you're falling asleep.
Oh no, I was very comfortable. This just for you guys who can't see us, which is everybody except for me and him. I've been very comfortable through this episode. I've been leaning back in my chair. I scooted it forward more than normal, and then I scooted my mic up to the edge. I've just been like a dude chilling today. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Right on.
A little bit warm today. I hope it's been warm, and it's supposed to stay warm, which is good.
Heck yeah.
I'm liking that warm weather.
I'm going to speak on a heckling issue. Did you hear the first lady got heckled at a speech that she gave?
No. They didn't call her a racial slur, did they?
No, it was a lady. She was given a speech, I do believe, in a social setting. And a lady apparently got upset by something that she was saying and blurted out something about how it related to how she should use that same thought to protect lesbian gay right kind of things. You know, it was a gay right activist, an old gray-haired lesbian is how she described herself.
Whoa.
And so but she blurted something out about how the president didn't do something she particularly wanted or liked, and so she threw that out there, and Miss Obama, she stopped right there, and she's like, you know, this is something I don't do well. And she walked down, and I think this is probably what you're not supposed to do
as a comedian.
Walk down and hand them the mic and say, you guys, as the whole conference thing, you guys have a choice. You can listen to me, or I can give the mic to this lady and I can leave.
I've heard comedians say that before.
And then, yeah, but
not the
you generally thing. Don't want to, like, if someone's heckling you and winning, give them the mic, I guess, is the point that I was referring to as far as that. But, yeah, and she handled it, and they escorted that lady out and did it. And, you know, later on she said that she didn't go there to try to heckle, but that whatever she said had worked her up into where she just blurted that out, and it, you know, because she felt very passionate about it. And, yeah, and so she handled it pretty well, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Some people just don't handle it correctly. Mm-hmm. Some people go a little bit overboard, I think, but it usually does the job.
Yeah. Unless, well, you kind of want to go overboard on it, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
shut it down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some people do that, and then the person just happens to be a little bit drunker than they thought, and then next thing you know, they're coming towards the stage because they want to fucking punch your lights out, which is a funny saying that I think is going to be coming back. And, I'm going to punch your lights out, dude.
Yeah, and their insults don't make any sense, so they actually come across as funny, and the audience laughs, and then they think,
When was the last time you've heard someone utter that phrase seriously?
Seriously?
I'm going to punch your lights out, dude. To someone, not to you, just to anyone. I King. Seriously? That's a long ago phrase that you, I'm going to punch your lights out.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing that back. I'm bringing sexy back, and I'm bringing back that phrase.
I'm going to punch your lights out?
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were talking about seriously.
No, seriously.
Oh.
Seriously.
Okay. No, okay, yeah. I'm going to punch your lights out.
Mama said, punch your lights out.
Yeah.
I'm going to punch your lights out. Mama said, punch your
lights
out.
You know, here's a good one, though, is going to, like, the suburbia angle on it. Go, I'd like to punch your lights out, but it doesn't look like they're turned on.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yep.
But you can still punch lights out when they're turned off.
That is true.
Usually will break your...
Yeah, you'd probably... It'd be like swinging at a pinata, though, because you wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah. That is. That's true.
So you'd be punching the cat.
That's
you don't
want to
punch a cat.
You don't punch cats.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that today, the 10th of June, is National Yo-Yo Day?
Yo, 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 Ma.
That's right. It's for rappers. It's National Rap Day. Yo, well, yo, what's up?
No, yeah.
That means you're supposed to say yo, yo every time you say
yo,
a sentence.
Yo, yo, Ma. I always go yo, yo, Ma because...
Yo, yo, Ma?
Because yo, yo, Ma, the famous...
cellist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say celloist, but I guess it is cellist.
A famous cellist just passed away. It should be on your celebrity desk. I don't recall the name because I'm not big into cellists that are 91.
Yeah.
But
it's Frisbee Ma.
Oh, Yo-Yo's brother.
Yep.
Yo-Yo. So, yeah, it's National Yo-Yo Day, and I actually have a yo-yo.
Nice. A butterfly or just a standard?
It's just a regular one. They were giving it away, actually, I believe, last year at the Pioneer Picnic, which is just coming up in a couple weeks, for Call Before You Dig awareness. You know, like underground wires and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a number.
Call Before You Dig awareness?
Yeah, that's a thing. And you can call 811.
All right.
Don't accidentally push 911, though, because that's an emergency.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
411 gives you information on someone's phone number. Mm-hmm. 511 gives you information on traffic and stuff. Did you know that?
511, yeah.
There's the 411, the 511. I know what the 811 and the 911, but what's the 211 and the 611?
What's the 111?
111111. I don't know. It's 1/6
evil. It's a casino. It's
one,
a local casino.
111. It's WON. 111. So not only is it National Yo-Yo Day, but we have one celebrity birthday I'd like to mention because this guy's funny. I've watched all of his specials recently or within the last couple months. Bill Burr. Funny comedian. You like that guy?
Yeah.
I think
happy birthday,
funny.
Bill.
Yeah, he's a ginger. He's a little excitable. He gets a little upset sometimes.
From the Boston area, so he really has that. He's got a great delivery, man.
Yeah, I like his stuff a lot. And happy birthday. He's my age. He's 45 today.
Nice.
So
he's a
pretty accomplished
podcaster.
Yeah, for sure.
Monday morning podcast is what he does. I remember listening to it. And if you listen to it, I mean, the old episodes, you'll see like old early glimpses into some of his new great material as he works it out.
Just, yeah.
What he does for his podcast, how he records it, or how he did at the time was he would go in the morning, usually on a Monday or something, or a Sunday night, and then he would go in his car and drive somewhere and record on his iPhone.
While he was driving?
No, not while he was driving, but he would park somewhere and record it in his car in a parking lot.
Just by himself?
Yeah.
Monologue.
And so sometimes he'd comment about people walking by. What the fuck is this person thinking? He's in a hat.
I guess that'd be kind of exciting if you're in a bigger city. You know, but if I was to do that in Brownsville, it probably wouldn't be that exciting. Oh, there goes a dog.
Yeah.
Whoa, a deer just bounced by.
Holy shit, a car just drove by on the main road.
I can't believe it. I just saw a police officer. I haven't seen one of them in 2 days.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
I do have some celebrity deaths.
There's a cellist that passed.
All right, let me see if I can get there. Jack Vance. We talked about him, Ellery Queen, last week, and we talked about Gene Stapleton.
Oh, poor lady. And, you know, I saw a kick-ass picture of her and Alice Cooper hanging out.
Really?
Yeah. They were partying. They both had drinks in hand. It was like, hey, Gene Stapleton.
Did you do the obligatory one when Gene Stapleton died, did you look up for nude photos over online?
No. of her dead body?
No.
Well, then why do you gotta wait till she's dead to look up for her? I've already seen her, dude.
Really?
Yeah, she did Playboy in 1972.
Really?
That's a lie. I'm just making shit up.
I don't know. I didn't look that up either.
I don't know either.
The show was a little before my time, so, you know. I mean, I never really, even on the reruns, there are just a few, you know.
Yeah.
The oldest senator died, Frank Lautenberg. You ever hear of a band called 18 Visions?
I believe so.
Mick Morris, he was a guitarist, played best known for playing bass. In 18 Visions, he was known for adopting a straight-edge lifestyle, though he abandoned it during the last few years of his life.
Oh. You can't just abandon something that you adopt.
Well, that's funny.
Just think, he had a child that he adopted, but he abandoned it later on the last tour.
Apparently, he died in his sleep, but it just seems funny when you're straight edge and then you stop, and then a few years later you die.
Yeah, you should have. That's because your body couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
it's like not eating meat for 10 years and then becoming a carnivore again.
Mm-hmm.
You die.
Yeah.
So if you ever turn into a vegan, just keep at it or kill yourself, because that's your only two options.
Well, yeah.
What's in Hans, a CD player? What's in Hans? Oh, wait, you're not done with celebrity deaths, are you?
Okay, Deacon Jones, NFL defensive end, he coined the term sack. That's how he...
For balls?
No, how you...
Football?
When sack? I know.
Sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
I wonder how he thought of that.
That's how I treat them when I hit them. They're just a sack.
I sacked him.
Yeah.
And then I hit him so hard that I put him in a sack.
Yeah. He was huge, and that's... Obviously, nobody knows how many sacks he had because they didn't keep it as a stat back then.
There were no stat sack?
No. No.
No sack stats?
No, I don't even think tackle was probably a stat back then.
Huh.
The Bollywood actress who killed herself. That was a good obituary, huh?
I can't believe Bollywood is a thing.
Yeah. Drummer. Famous for his time with Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, yeah, he was 67 or something like that.
Joey Covington.
Yeah.
You got to start with Hot Tuna.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
I don't like Hot Tuna. Sometimes my family likes to make a tuna casserole or tuna helper.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. It makes the whole house smell.
Yeah. Well, you're not a big tuna fan anyway, are you?
I'll eat a cold tuna fish sandwich.
Yeah. Or not a tuna melt? With cheese on a piece of toast, nice
maybe,
broiled.
Maybe, as long as the... I don't know, it's weird. You'd like to cook fish and eat fish warm, but I don't... I like cold tuna.
All right.
I'll eat cold tuna with some Miracle Whip right out of the bowl.
Smoked tuna's good if you go over to, Newport and get some fresh smoked tuna.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's very rich, though. You can't, eat a ton of it. Just kind of, pick it off of there.
Yeah.
Smoked salmon, pretty good, too.
I think I like smoked salmon better than smoked tuna.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not as rich. Have you ever just bought a tuna steak and cooked a tuna steak and ate that when it's like an inch thick?
No, that's weird.
It is weird.
I've seen people have canned tuna.
Yeah.
That's weird, too, because it's like in water or something.
Mm-hmm.
It looks all gross, like a baby's head or something.
Yeah.
Or a little organ.
Yeah.
Human something.
I had a tuna steak, and cooked it and then put some a homemade kind of mango pineapple salsa on the top. Oh, man.
Yeah, I had a bad experience on Blueberry Hill with a girl, and her lady parts were a little bit smelly, and ever since then I have not liked tuna.
Yeah, a little bit.
It smelled like tuna.
There's a lot of salsa going on.
And the time before we were together, she serviced me down there, so she felt that it was appropriate. I'd been drinking, so I said, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then I was trying. You know, and any guys know the scenario. Mm-hmm. You're pretty drunk. You could throw up anyway.
Yeah.
And then you're down there, and it's a hot summer day. You've been walking around the fair all day. She has
a couple corn dogs, she's an elephant ear in you.
She's pissed a few times, probably.
Half a pound of fucking fries.
They don't have wet wipes in the porta potties, and she's also used those and exposed her pussy to shit, basically sitting on top of a porta potty stacked with poop.
Yeah,
and so it could get a little. I'm not blaming her. I'm not going to mention any names. Because,
yeah, you know,
But it was on Blueberry Hill during the Strawberry Festival. Right. I believe it was 1985. So it's been at least since 1985 that I haven't liked tuna, unlike Captain Bart, who you guys might all meet later.
Yeah.
He's enjoyed tuna since 2 years before that, the summer of 1983. And so you guys be on the lookout for Captain Bart.
That's funny.
Or did we we played that, didn't we?
Yeah, we played it last week for...
I was so drunk, I forgot, and I didn't listen to that episode, so...
We were all pretty good to go.
By the way, I did talk to Jerry Murphy, and he said, you know what? I listened to that episode, and you're right. He's like, we're a little bit out of control.
was that Wednesday or Friday?
Both. He's like, especially the Friday episode, he's like, we're all talking over top of each other at the same time. He goes, we talked for like 7 minutes before we even talked about anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I called it. I told you, didn't I? And he's like, yeah, but when you told me that, I didn't believe you. He goes, and I wasn't sure if you were right, but you're right. He goes, so maybe next time I come on there, I'm going to try to be a little bit more focused and not be so out of control.
Yeah.
And I said,
well, he doesn't need to bring, I mean, he can bring his pint if he wants.
I told him he fucked
or
it
we
up.
Can, you know, I mean, I got one in the freezer. We can just slam back a shot each and go with that.
Just when Jerry comes, we'll record a different podcast called the Drunk Cast.
All right. The Jerry Murphy Show.
The Drunk Cast Podcast.
Mm-hmm. With guests.
Terry and Gatch.
Jerry Guile and Jerry Gatch.
Oh, here's another funny thing. You know our Facebook friend, photographer Jerry Hughes?
Yeah.
He showed up there for a short period of time out there at Album Palooza on Saturday, and he came up and said, hey, Facebook friend, how are you doing? I can't stay long. Got some good shots of your band, and good to see you. We talked for a little bit, and then he's like, where's Dutch at?
Dutch?
That's you.
Yeah, a combination of Dust Gatch.
It was so fucking cool that he called you Dutch that I did not correct him. I said, he couldn't make it. He doesn't have a car right now, and he's just homebody in it. And he's like, oh, well, that's too bad. And I was like, yeah.
Dutch.
Yeah, Dutch. The Dutch cast. Are you Dutch or are you Indian?
Ew. Nice. It was very nice.
That. Who else died? Are you done with your deaths?
I don't know. Dutch. I'm still pondering about, like, Dutch.
Dutch Gust.
You know, that's up there with Duke, you know.
Dutch Gast.
You know, Esther Williams.
Esther?
Yeah.
I like the way you say Esther.
Esther Williams was, you know who she is?
I do not, but...
She was an actress in the 40s and 50s. She was a competitive swimmer in her youth, and then she signed on with MGM, and they made millions, like, doing... That's when the big bathing suit movies were all popular.
She's one of the only professional swimmer turned actresses I saw. So she kind of.
Yeah, she was always like a mermaid. She was a pin. I'm sure she was, you know, one of the first pinups in the 40s and 50s, you know, with World War II going on.
So is she like 90 something?
I would imagine she was.
You don't have the information?
No, I did look her up for a nude photo, though.
Oh, did you find anything?
No.
Darn it.
Well, she was an old swimsuit model, so I thought maybe.
Nip slip?
Yeah, there's...
At least.
You never find any nip slip photos.
Or maybe a little protruding bush that they couldn't have photoshopped out.
Yeah, nobody had those 120 shots a second cameras back then. I think films are shot in 2 frames a second, right?
That cameras can shoot more than that now.
Yeah. And the biggest death of the week, I don't know if...
Did he die harder than anybody?
He did.
Okay.
Richard Ramirez.
Oh, yeah. I saw the band Macabre actually posted a picture of him and said, rest in peace, Night Stalker.
Now, can you have a death of natural causes and something else?
Well, there's usually... one thing or another that is leading to this natural cause.
Okay, because he reports
he must have been 60 or 70.
Natural causes and hepatitis C.
Okay.
He was 53.
So he's younger than I thought. So here's the thing. Maybe they have a way to break it down. Like he died of 38% hepatitis C, and the other 62% was totally natural causes.
Yeah. He was known as the Night Stalker. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. They got
had
an awesome
song. Had a huge pentagram tattooed of his palm.
Yep.
And was a huge AC/DC fan.
Yep. Because they're the devil.
And when he was sentenced to death, I think he said something to, like, no big deal. Death was all part of it anyway.
That's right.
And so,
and it's that reverse psychology that kept him alive until he died of natural causes, because they didn't kill him. He went out on his own.
Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, there was a big, you know, it always brings up the argument, why do we keep these people on? I mean, of course, you want to keep people on if there's any kind of doubt, right? You know, you don't want to throw somebody to execution if there's any kind of doubt.
In this case, I don't believe that there was any point of he admitted to it. There was evidence pointing at him.
There was no remorse.
He was celebrated of the fact. He was
absolutely no remorse. And so the only thing you're granting him by giving him time is time to further congratulate himself on his awesomeness.
Because they should have known. They all obviously knew that there was no, like, rehabilitating him. He wasn't in there and going to get better and go to parole. And, you know, I don't think I'll go into windows and kill girls anymore, but maybe. I'm not too sure. I feel better.
What about the Silence of the Lambs kind of a thing, to where you kind of... not Silence of the Lambs, where you use them to try to find other killers, although I guess that could be. But just to learn about the psychology behind a killer. Because, you know, I mean, you don't get many opportunities to examine a serial killer like that who has no remorse, even in the later stages after serving all that time.
No, and especially...
So probably, you know, you could learn something.
Especially if he was willing to, like,
so why
help.
Not?
Like, say, you know... When I was killing chicks, here's what I thought, and this is what, you know, this is what it made me think. I have no remorse for what I did, but when I was doing it, here's what I did, and I would go through the window like this, and then I would kill her like this, and then I would do this with her body, and then they would go, well, wow, that's how a serial killer thinks.
Or you would, as a serial killer, probably find great pride in pointing out other killers' mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, what fucking amateurs.
What an idiot, yep.
You know, and so... I don't know if he was ever like that, you know, where he helped, or how much that they seek that beyond in the movies and on TV.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's sensationalized,
I would imagine,
and what isn't.
You know, you could realistically, like, you know, Manson's been interviewed for a long time and still remains an intriguing part of our pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Why haven't they put him to death?
Because he's interesting.
He's on death row, though, right?
I do believe so.
And do they have a death penalty in California? Is that where he's at?
I don't know if they have death penalty anywhere other than Texas, do they?
Boy, they love it down there, though.
You think they just ship it down to him, right?
Yeah, we're going to relocate you, Mr. Manson. So, yeah, I know you're probably sad, Hans, because Richard Ramirez is dead, so you should go home today and listen to the album Sinister Slaughter by Macabre.
I haven't listened to that album.
Opening track is The Night Stalker.
But it is an awesome album.
We should play that song on the way out today as a one-time thing.
Yeah,
so, here we go.
What's in Hans' CD player?
We got a little premature earlier, Hans. I didn't mean to get excited. This is a different version with a louder gatch.
We're going to find out today. What's in Hans' CD player?
I found this while I was perusing.
What's in Hans' CD player?
Because my Kindle was fucking up.
What's in Hans' CD player?
I'll talk about that later.
We're going to
find out right now. He is listening. I can't believe it. It's fucking Monday. And Hans is listening to something that I actually know.
All right. I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess Disrupt.
No. We're talking classic rock from the 70s, bro.
Oh, then you're talking about Rainbow.
That's fucking really, really close, dude. A couple of the same members are in the band.
Okay, then you're talking about Elf.
Deep Purple.
Nice.
Rainbow's
nice.
Close to Deep Purple.
Mm-hmm.
Deep Purple turned into Rainbow.
All right.
So that was a damn good guess on your part. He's listening to Burn.
Burn.
I guess that's an album. I know the song. I didn't know it was a full album, but...
Burn, baby, burn.
No, it goes, burn! That's how they say it.
All right.
I'm surprised you didn't sing it like that, because you normally would.
Yeah.
I revisited an album I haven't listened to in years, and I listened to it twice because I enjoyed it so much. I don't know how familiar you are with this band, because I wasn't. I heard a couple songs from my friend Kevin, who used to be in Domesticide, and then my other former bandmate, Paula, otherwise known as Pippi. She burned me a copy of Unsane Occupational Hazard. The band is called Unsane. The album is called Occupational Hazard. Fucking is a good, good album. I don't even know what to call it. It's metal, but it's kind of post-rock, whatever. I don't even know what that is, but that's what I think of when I hear it. It's good stuff. A little punky. Little Jesus Lizardy, a little bit with that. I don't know. It's good stuff, though. Hans, you familiar with Unsane?
Hans,
I can't hear you. Check them out, dude.
Hans, rank these three bands: Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, did he not do that back in the day?
I don't know. I'm forgetful. He didn't this season yet.
I don't think he likes Led Zeppelin much.
Yeah. Well, I figure they're going to be the number three in there.
So that I would call, he'd say, well, duh, Black Sabbath, number one.
All right. A lot of people...
Jerry Murphy pre-ordered the 13 CD.
That is the big argument, right? You know? When there is an argument of Black Sabbath, you bring in Deep Purple, right?
Because of the color? Black and
purple?
Maybe.
But Deep Purple is almost black anyway.
So why on God's earth is there not a band called Deep Sabbath?
Or Deep Purple Sabbath.
Or Black Purple.
Or Purple Sabbath.
Oh, Deep Black Sabbath. Deep Black Purple Sabbath.
Yep. Or Deep Black Cadillac.
Now, that would be an interesting, what do you call it? Tribute band would be called Purple Sabbath.
Yeah.
It'd be all Deep Purple and Prince and Black Sabbath covers. Purple Rain.
Oh, man. Dude, Deep Purple Rain. That's what I'm talking about.
All Prince and Deep Purple.
Oh, yep.
Only the deep cuts from Prince.
I'm trying to combine When Doves Cry and Smoke on the Water. I don't know. I don't even know how to.
That's what it sounds like. When Doves Cry.
Dun, dun, dun. Maybe that's what it would be. This would be the gimmick. It would be all Prince songs, but between all the lyrics, you'd play that. Dun, 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 dun.
Maybe we could get Strange Dichotomy to do that. Which, by the way, they had to cancel. Album Palooza, they were not there. Audiophobia played instead. Boy, those kids are still good, man. Those guys are a good young bunch of fellas.
Yep, and they got a good roadie crew, huh?
They look, yeah, their roadies are like 60.
Yep.
And their collective age is like 60 in the whole band.
Mm-hmm.
They were missing a guitar player and still pulled it off. That one of their guitarists was at his graduation. He's got school stuff to take care of, can't do gigs always, but no, they were good, but they all look like Justin Bieber, except for, you know, Jake said
that
they're...
Are you talking about, like, the hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the drummer kind of looks like Justin Bieber.
Okay.
But there was one guitar player, the oldest guy. He's got, like, frizzy hair,
mm-hmm.
kind of long. And Jake Quinette said, doesn't that guy look like he could be related to Ron Ferris? Just the way he stands and the way his hair looks? And I was like, totally the way he stands and the way his hair looks. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no.
You know who could be related to Ron Ferris is Ron Ferris, that one guy we found on Facebook that one time.
Mm-hmm. Might be that guy. And you remember, because you were part of this, you were kind of helping us out with our bookings and whatnot back in 2004 with Domesticide,
mm-hmm.
and you set up a show with a guy, Senior Frog,
for
the New Paris Theater, and we played with a band called American Roulette,
mm-hmm.
and American Roulette played with us on Saturday, and that guy is the only guy left in the band. He was running sound for Dave. He brought down his whole kick-ass PA system. He said it
Which
cost,
guy's that, the big, huge guy?
No. He's kind of skinny, and he's got like a goatee thing.
Oh, the guitarist?
Yeah. He's the guy that's been in it forever.
Okay.
And he was tripping out when he found out that was me and that we'd played together that long ago. Mm-hmm. And then another band that was Apophis Theory, they're from Portland as well. And we just got on a band chat, and like they don't know, but everybody that they mentioned, I knew, like... Remember that band, Face Pilot? Well, I think they were dropping names from the stickers on my van, to be honest with you.
Ah.
They'd see a sticker on the band and say, hey, dude. You
know.
But it was cool. It was cool to talk with these guys.
They were good at striking up conversation.
And the Senior Frog thing, they're like, oh, yeah, you got to sell tickets, right? And then if you don't sell them all, you got to pay for them, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, well, we didn't sell them all because we were from Eugene, and the guy actually let us just give them the tickets back. And they're like,
yeah.
the guy's all, dude, get over here. You got to hear this story. He's like, he gave him his tickets back and didn't make him pay. And he's like, we're from Portland. He'd make us pay for every ticket.
Yeah.
So he goes, basically, that's pay to play.
It is a lot like that up there, though.
Yeah, not so much anymore, but...
But, well, like the big promoters.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you want to play with a big band, I think that's worth it.
Yeah, like they're opening for Machine Head up at the Hawthorne Theater.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, Machine that's a Head good deal. Is a hey, good... sell some tickets, you can play with Machine Head, all right.
Yeah, and like another friend, the guy that used to be in Apocalypse Head, the singer Dan, he is in a band called On Enemy Soil. And they posted a thing, said, hey, should we open for 6 feet under? We'd have to sell 50 tickets at $18 a piece, you know. So if they couldn't sell them all, that's a lot. That's like
$900.
Fuck, man. So, and he deleted my comment when I said, so basically they want you to round up $900 for them, huh? And then I went back to see, because it said, so-and-so also commented on this post, and I went back, and my comment was gone.
So, yeah, they probably didn't want the promoter to see it or something.
Well, they didn't end up doing it, though. I think it jabbed him in the side, and their friends were like...
Well, it probably made them really think about it.
Their
you know,
friends are like, hey, I'll go. I'll take 2 tickets. But I don't think there was 50 people that said they would go. And they're like, oh, cool, I'll be there. When is it?
It's a
like,
big commitment, man. $900 if you don't, because, you know, man. We've all been there trying to sell tickets, and people say, yeah, and then...
Yeah, but $18 is a big ticket.
It is.
And Machine Head's not that huge.
You would have to be a Machine Head fan.
Yeah.
You'd have to be excited that Machine Head's coming around.
And full circle, Machine Head is the name of a Deep Purple album. And Rob Flynn, formerly of Violence, who started Machine Head, claims that he had never heard of that album when someone said, that, did you name that after a Deep Purple album? And he said, what Deep Purple album? Really, Rob Flynn, who is my ex baby's mama's cousin. That's about 1 degree of separation.
Wow, yeah, Machine Head.
Shelley Banchini is first cousins with Rob Flynn.
Yeah, well, how is he related to Dylan Flynn?
Just through injection.
Oh.
Dylan fucked him one time when they came to town.
Nice.
I hope you're listening, Dylan. Miss you, buddy. What's up? Haven't seen you in a while.
And I had something else, but I forgot.
Errol. They're all descent of Errol.
Errol Flynn.
That's a weird name, Errol.
Machine Head.
Sometimes when I try to type swipe in on my phone, will, just like, will you suck my dick or whatever I'm texting at the time, and it'll say Errol with a capital. And I'll have to go, no, I meant will. Errol Woodruff.
I was on a game one time, and I was hitting, I don't know if I said this before, but I was hitting it had a random name generator to create a character.
Oh, I think you did tell me that was...
And then it said Will Woodruff.
What?
Yeah.
Woodruff?
Yeah. Like, it was his name. Like, after hitting it like 3 times, and so I thought, that is fucking...
I don't know about that.
Creepy, dude.
I'm gonna
And I, to... I took a screenshot, and I posted it on his wall. But at the same time, I was like... Well, this could be one of those things, you know, where it could, like, maybe it has access to your Facebook, so, like...
Picked one of your friends.
Yeah, and so, you know, and so I clicked it a bunch more times, and there is nothing. I know that the generator itself has, you know, first names, last names in it, and it's all, you know, if Woodruff's in there, because I've had it a couple times, actually.
But is that a common name?
It's just one in their system.
I'd never heard of it until I met him.
You know, yeah, so maybe one of their users had it. Maybe it's a former sports person, wherever they, or maybe they just like copy and pasted a whole fucking every last name possible.
Errol.
Yeah.
Errol. We'll ask him about it when we do our road trip in 2 weeks. He's going to be our guest.
Mm-hmm.
Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
Did you ever sleep in a box?
Maybe as a child, for fun.
There it is, right there. In Finland, when you have a baby...
Boom, there it is.
They give you a box. You are eligible to receive a box.
Kind of like when you take
like,
a cat home.
You know, stuff for parents, as you would want for parents. But it has become a tradition in their country, in Finland. And then the thing is, the box doubles as the baby's first bed.
Wow. Cheapskates over there in Finland.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's a safe place to sleep, and it was initially started so to wean people from letting their kids sleep with them all the, you know.
Yeah.
And then, but, and so this has been going on for a long time. It's now a tradition. And, you know, no matter what your silver spoon status or whatever in society,
you just bring home your baby in a box.
Yeah, you're still fucking sleeping. You're all sleeping in a box.
The cardboard?
Yeah.
So, wow. I didn't know they were so anti-crib in Finland.
I don't know.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's good to know, though, because...
A box is just as safe, though, if you think about it, right?
Because if I'm ever in Finland and happen to get a girl pregnant, I wouldn't want my baby in a box.
Yeah.
I'd rather have my dick in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Dick in a box. And put my dick in her box, and then she put my baby in a box.
Yeah.
And then I accidentally took it out to the road, because I just thought it was a box. Side of the road, it's recycles now.
Do you like chocolate?
I do. I'm not a huge chocolate fan, but I do like to eat some chocolate.
Do you like chocolate in the summertime?
Yeah, I just ate a bunch of Reese's Pieces the other day. They're chocolatey, but they're peanut buttery, too.
Mm-hmm. Did they melt?
Not in my hand.
No?
They're like M&Ms. They melted in my mouth. They didn't even melt in my mouth. I chewed them up.
Wow. Yeah. So they got a new chocolate. I do believe it's Hershey's.
Oh, I've heard of those guys. They just came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
A company.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Pennsylvania.
And they've been working on this thing for 10 years, and they're you probably won't see it here because it's mostly for places like Africa and where it's hot.
Oh, it's unmelting?
It has a melting point of 140.
Wow.
So
I wonder if it affects the taste.
I don't know.
Because do you remember on the Circle K over there on 34th and Marion?
Yeah.
They used to have their candy all along the window there.
Yeah.
And the sun would just bake it, dude. Mm-hmm. I bought a candy bar there and it was like... It was liquefied.
Yeah.
It was liquefied. I was liquefied. I ate it.
It's all in a giant glob at the bottom.
Yeah, and you just like...
I used to do that with the Crunch Bars. I haven't had a Crunch Bar in a long time, but that's a great, just simple candy bar, you know?
It's just called Crunch?
Yeah, it's just Crunch, and it says Crunch on it. It's like rectangle, and it has Crunch imprinted.
Is it peanuts?
No, it's just crispy rice on a thin chocolate wafer.
I don't know that I've ever had a Crunch Bar. That's weird to me. I thought I'd tried every candy bar.
Crunch.
Oh, a Crunch Bar. Okay, I got you. I've ate many Crunch Bars. Sorry. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I forgot
to say Nestle.
Yeah, I couldn't even picture it when you said Crunch.
I was like a Crunch Bar. I was thinking of K Crunch or what kind of.
When you said Crunch, I was like just as confused as you were when I said Crunch, even though I said Crunch.
You got to say the Nestle Crunch.
Yeah.
And so, I love the Nestle Crunch ice cream bars. Oh
man.
TDF.
The Twix ones are good too.
Oh. Do you eat them in stereo? Like.
One in both ear?
No, the left one tastes a little different than the right one.
They only come in one.
No, Twix.
Oh, I know, but they're not the Twix ice cream bars.
Oh.
I do notice a difference in the regular Twix.
I didn't until I saw the commercial.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of a mental state.
Yeah.
The mental Twix. What are you doing? I'm in a mental Twix.
Up.
I'm Twixed up, dude. Well, shit, we better probably get out of here. We got to go. Oh, we got pizza. We're going to get some pizza, and they got some new shit.
Yep.
We'll tell you all about it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Macabre Rocks.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard this for a while, so peace out, you all.
And rock on.
And we'll see you on Wednesday. That's the day after tomorrow. Please tune back in. Hey, Taggarts. What's happening? I'm going to tell you. Lots of stuff coming up. Comedy, metal, rock. Get out and do something. Don't just sit at home listening to the Tagcast podcast. I know we're good, but give it a break. Tracy Morgan, June 13th, the Newmark Theater in Portland. That's probably close to sold out, but you can check for tickets online. Friday, June 14th, it's the Pantsless Comedy Show with your host, Mike McGowan, a.k.a. Carmichael McGee. He has since lost that name, but I can't let go of it. Carmichael will be hosting the show. I'll be featuring for your headliner, Chris Castles, one of his last shows in the Eugene area before he relocates to Austin. Also in Eugene at the Wow Hall on June 20th, it's Pauly Shore performing Biodome in its entirety. Just kidding, but he'll probably tell a joke or two. June 23rd, it's the Tagcast Podcast Road Trip and also the Down and Dirty Dark Comedy Showcase with your host, Patrick Thomas Perkins from the House of Merkins. That's on the 23rd. It's a Sunday, June 23rd at the Ash Street Saloon. $5 suggested donation or free if you're broke. June 21st, that's Lynyrd Skynyrd and Bad Company. I don't know why I keep telling you that, but go see them if you want. I have no interest in going to that show. Machine Head's going to be playing in Portland, a one-off of sorts. They're doing three shows before they headline their whole tour. They chose Portland for one of those three, and they got three local bands opening for them. Separation of Sanity, Proven, and American Roulette at the Hawthorne Theater opening for Machine Head, June 26th. Should be a good show. A goo show. Sunday, June 30th, it's the third installment of Bleepin' Funny with your hostess, Leanne Joshua. That's at Sam Bond's Garage. Max Brockman, myself, Trisha Marcy, some other people will be telling jokes, and there'll be the improv troupe there as well doing their thing with Melody Dodd and some other people that I can't recall their names, but they're funny, so come check it out. It's a free show. It starts at 8 o'clock at Sam Bond's Garage on Blair Boulevard in Eugene. July 3rd, it's the Rockstar Mayhem Festival with Rob Zombie, Mastodon, Amon Amarth, the Jamaican death metal band, and a couple of shitty bands like Five Finger Death Punch, Fags. White River Amphitheater, Auburn, Washington. That's July 3rd. July 18th, it's Black Flag with Good For You and Piggy at the Hawthorne Theater.
Did you hear that Henry Rollins retired from music?
No, but that's unfortunate.
There you go.
He'll come back, I predict.
He has nothing left. It doesn't excite him anymore.
Whatever. July 20th, 6 Feet Under with Decrepit Birth, Cannabis Corpse, and another local band yet to be determined at the Hawthorne Theater. July 30th, the Gigantor with Megadeth, Black Label Society, Newstead, the new band with Jason Newstead and Death Division. And this is at a strange place in Everett, Washington.
I
didn't think they'd have shows up at Everett, Washington at the Comcast Arena. Didn't even know that place was big enough for that kind of shit. This one's for Zach Rowe. July 31st, Every Time I Die is coming to Hawthorne Theater, brother. You better go see him because I know you miss him every time they come through. Every Time I Die. They're playing with Terror and another local band yet to be determined. Hey, August 9th, the Texas Hippie Coalition's coming to the Hawthorne Theater. And we got some other cool stuff. August 20th, the Summer Slaughter Tour featuring Dillinger Escape Plan, Norma Jean, Cattle Decapitation, Revocation, and a bunch of other bands that end with Shun. Plus, August 20th, also, Wonder Ballroom, Melvins and Honky. So that'll be one to check out. Go do something, you guys. Come home and listen to the Tagcast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. Wow, 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 wow. Rock out!
That's what Jaden says.
Jaden says, rah, 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 rock out! He'll go, yeah, 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 rock out! Like, yeah, 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 rock out. Yeah, rock out. Yeah, get that tick out of my neck.